Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. Because there are toxic chemicals all around us in consumer products and in just walking down the street and falling from the sky and water we drink and food we eat. And sometimes listening to the news, it seems like every day there's a new toxic chemical to worry about. But there are many toxic free alternatives available, many consumer products that don't have toxic chemicals in them, many ways to remove toxic chemicals from our homes and our bodies and our schools and every place. And we can live in a toxic-free world. It's just a matter of each of us making choices, and one by one, all of us putting all those choices together, we'll have fewer and fewer toxics and more health and happiness, productivity, and anything else that we want, not impeded by toxic chemical exposures. Today, we're going to talk about sofas. A lot of people have been asking me about sofas because of all the news about fire retardants has been in the news a lot in the past couple of years. There's also some new regulations going in the state of California about fire retardants. And also, today, my guest is releasing a the most affordable organic sofa I've ever seen. I just took a peek at her website before the show, and I didn't see that it's up yet, but she's going to be telling us all about it. But first, I want to tell you about my personal experience with sofas. I have had a toxic-free sofa for, let's see, how many years has it been now? Probably almost 30. The first toxic-free sofa I had, and let me tell you that the sofa was one of the first toxic things I got rid of in my house. The first one that I had was, I was living at my parents' house, actually, and my mother had chosen a very modern sofa that had a back that was made out of canvas, black cotton canvas, and then it had pillows, and the whole frame was all metal, and it had chrome arms, and then you would put these pillows in. And the pillows themselves were made out of all kinds of synthetic materials and probably had fire retardants on it. So I just took all those pillows off, and I made my own big pillows out of cotton fabric, organic cotton fabric, stuffed them with organic cotton, and I had a lovely sofa. But then, for some reason, I don't remember why, it didn't fit in the small places that I was living. I just wanted a regular kind of sofa. And about 20 years ago, I decided to make my own sofa, and this was before I could go to a place like and have one custom made by somebody who has all the natural materials available to them, like my guest. And so what I did was I went to an auction and I bought an old sofa that had a nice frame and that had spring cushions and the old-fashioned kind. And then I took it to an upholsterer, and I said, strip everything off of it. And he stripped it down to the wood frame and the metal springs. And then I got 100% natural linen upholstery fabric and some cotton upholstery fabric, and he stuffed everything with organic cotton. And it cost me, I don't even remember, like $2,000 or $3,000 to have this done 20 years ago. But I can tell you that I still sit on that sofa, and it still looks as beautiful as the day I got it. And fortunately now, we have plenty of places where there are people who know exactly what they're doing, know the materials, you have lots of choices, and they can custom make whatever it is that you want. And there are also sofas that are already designed that you can just order. So I want to introduce my guest, Emily May Bird Kroll, who is the CEO and founder of Ecla Home. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Deborah.
Thanks for being with me.
Thank you for having me.
Well, instead of me reading your bio, why don't you tell us about your background and what led you to start doing custom building of furniture from non-toxic and sustainable materials.
Okay. Well, I started in the furniture business in 1992, and I worked for a company that was making reproductions of 18th and 19th century farmhouse furniture. And from there, I was asked by the company to investigate upholstery, meaning sofas, so that we could add to our collection of pieces. So I began researching upholstery and was introduced to a manufacturer of sofas and started the process of developing this collection for the company I was working for. That company was then sold, and I decided I was more interested in learning about the soft side of the business, meaning the upholstery side of the business. And I went to work for the manufacturer that we were working with in the former company. And I developed a couple of designs for him and, you know, learned the process of manufacturing as well as, you know, learn about the ingredients and so forth in upholstered pieces during that period. Shortly thereafter, I opened my own store, my own retail store, which was in Santa Monica, California, and I designed my own pieces for that store and originally had the original manufacturer make pieces for me, for my own collection. During the 90s, I became aware that the furniture industry was responsible for pretty much raping two-thirds of the world's forests for its furniture production. And that really upset me. My family are in the recycling business in Europe, and I grew up in a kind of consciousness which involved no waste and lots of reuse. And I just was upset that we were doing, you know, our industry was responsible for such devastation. So mm-hmm. I started investigating sustainable woods, you know, things that were, you know, recycled wood. I started working in reclaimed woods in the mid-90s, and as well, I started working in alder for my case goods, and alder wasn't really used in those days for case goods. It was considered a waste crop, but it is uh-huh. a sustainable crop and has fast regrowth. So we started doing the wood, and then as the years went by, you know, I became aware that the upholstery side of the business also was environmentally harmful, you know, in many different ways, from the use of the chemicals to, again, the waste of the wood, et cetera. So I started researching in 2002-3 about doing a more sustainable product on the upholstery side of the business. And that research, you know, I researched for several years, and that led me in 2005 to writing the business plan for EquiHome, which was to create an entirely organic collection of upholstered pieces. And that is, then I launched the brand in 2007. It took me a few years to get a little bit of funding to do the project. And the business started in 2007, but we launched our first collection in 2008.
When I read your core values on your website, that they are very deep, and I like them very much. Would you tell us your core values so that I don't read them?
Well, I would say that, you know, it's really important that we, you know, one thing, that we're making these pieces that are healthy for consumers, but also, again, in our industry, the workshops. Unfortunately, many of the people that are working in the furniture workshops have been affected by the carcinogenic chemicals that they work with every day in making conventional pieces. So many of the guys that have been working for many years in the business have their hands are chewed away from the toxic chemicals that they've had to work with, you know, in cutting fabrics and handling fabrics and handling foam. Many of them have respiratory problems. I have one builder that I've been doing wood with for years who I honestly think has been affected by the vapors he's inhaled, because he's just not as clear as he was a number of years ago when dealing with him.
We need to take a break, but we'll be right back and we'll talk more about this. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Emily Mae Bird-Kroll, CEO and founder of Ekla Home. We're going to talk about sofas and other furniture. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Emily Mae Bird-Kroll, CEO and founder of Ekla Home, where they make sofas, chairs, and upholstered bed frames. And anything else?
Ottomans, pretty much anything that can be upholstered we can do.
Yeah, basically upholstered furniture. So, Emily, tell us more. You were starting to talk about the chemicals that workers are being exposed to, and also then the consumer would be exposed to those same chemicals, although the workers would be exposed to more of them. But tell us about some of those chemicals and how they might affect our health.
Do you have Leanne on the line, our in-house chemist?
She's on the line, yes. Is it time to bring her in?
Yeah, I think she's the best one to because she has the most sort of in-depth knowledge of the effects of the chemicals themselves.
Okay, Leanne. Hi.
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 I am here.
Emily, would you introduce Leanne, please?
Leanne Van Dusen. It has a company called O Eco Textiles, and O Eco Textiles is our exclusive supplier of fabric because they work to the highest standard for health and sustainability in the production of the fabrics that they create. And Leanne and her sister Patty both have backgrounds in chemistry and have worked tirelessly to develop their collection of healthful fabrics.
So, Leanne, tell us about the toxic chemicals that you've learned about that are in textiles.
Well, we have been studying, well, since we started, which is about the same time Emily started her company, we maybe a year or two earlier, but we started doing the same thing, learning about what is involved with textile production. And the what we found is we were horrified by the chemicals used in textile production because they include some of the most, I consider them dangerous chemicals that are used, lead, PBDEs, which are the fire retardants we hear so much about now, but also acyl phenol oxalates or APEOs, which are endocrine disruptors, and formaldehyde is used a lot. I think I mentioned lead, but mercury and lots of the heavy metals are found in the dye stuff. So the fabrics, a finished fabric is by weight about 25%. This is a fabric made of natural fibers. It's about 25% synthetic chemicals. So it's really important that you know what those chemicals are, or that you have a third-party certification that warrants that your fabric is safe, because your skin is the biggest organ of your body, and it's busy inputting all those chemicals. Not to mention the fact that they abrade, they fly into the air, and then you can breathe them in, and some of them outgas, the ones that are at ambient air temperature, those that evaporate. So there are lots of chemicals used in textile processing that just are not good for us. And we see a lot of times fabrics that are advertised as being made of organic cotton, and that's fabulous. We really support the organic agriculture. But if you think of organic applesauce, if someone started with organic apples and then added red dye number 2 and preservatives and emulsifiers, and the final product couldn't be called organic applesauce.
No, it couldn't. Could you tell us some more about this? Because I think that there's an assumption that if something is organic, then people are going to handle that material in a less toxic way all the way through the line. And it sounds like you're saying that's not necessarily true with organic cotton.
Well, organic cotton is just that. It's the fiber. But there's a lot of steps in textile processing. That fiber has to go to a mill where it's spun into yarn, and then it goes to the weaving mill where it's put on a loom, and they have about, I don't know, 6 or 8 steps. These are main steps that involve washing with detergents, bleaching. Almost every natural fiber has to be bleached before it's dyed, and then it's dyed, and then there's finishes applied often. And the finishes, for example, every permanent press finish has formaldehyde in it. It's a formaldehyde resin. And so there are many steps after the fiber part where the chemicals are introduced. So even though you start with organic cotton, and lots of manufacturers advertise their organic cotton sheet sets or whatever it is they're advertising, that's just the first step. And as I said, it's great to start with organic cotton, but if they're processed conventionally and you aren't paying attention to the chemicals that are used in the dyes and the optical whiteners and all that stuff, then you don't end up with, well, you end up with a fabric that's 25% by weight synthetic chemicals, many of which are not good for you.
Well, that explains why sometimes I've looked at, once I needed to buy a prop for a TV show, and I wanted to show an organic sheet. Sorry. And so I just went down and I bought a sheet that was labeled organic cotton, and I took it out of the package, and it had this kind of sheen on it and this kind of finish, and I thought, this doesn't look like an organic sheet at all. And that explains that, because it isn't always, you don't always get on the label. In fact, most of the time you don't get on the label what's been done to the fabric, what's been done to the fiber. You just get what is the type of fiber that's used in the making of it. So you, in your work, go ahead.
I was just going to say the same is true for the latexes on the market, which are the foams used in supposedly eco furniture. Natural latex in the U.S. can be a blend of petroleum product as well as other chemical binders, and can be labeled as natural latex, as well as, you know, the wools and the cottons as well in the actual eco furniture pieces. Again, you know, one, as a consumer, one has to sort of dig beneath the surface and request documentation of those items that they're purchasing.
Good. We're going to talk about this more after the break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we're here with Emily Kroll from Ecla Home and Leanne from, I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me.
Textiles.
We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Emily Kroll from Ecla Home, and also Leanne Van Dusen of O Eco Textiles. And let me just give you their websites. Ecla Home is eklahome.com, eklahome.com, ekla. Emily, does Ecla have some meaning, or I got it.
It's my
Emily
initials.
LA. Now I got it. I thought maybe it was some Swedish word for extreme
purity. That's
what
people think. Just my initials.
Okay, so I got it now. And let's see. O Eco Textiles is O and then ecotextiles.com. And they're in Seattle, Washington. And I haven't been to that website yet, but I will absolutely be going there. Okay, before we go on, I just want to read the homepage at Ecla Home, because it's just so beautiful. And so it says exactly what the furniture is about. It says, at Ecla Home, we strive to make the least toxic furniture on the planet. Our organic collection consists of sofas, chairs, and upholstered bed frames made with pure, non-toxic ingredients. Each piece is made with certified organic natural latex, certified organic wool, and certified organic cotton barrier cloth. Our fabric collection is exclusively supplied by OECO Textiles and all meet the global organic textile standard for sustainable non-toxic textiles. Each piece is made from FSC certified wood, non-toxic adhesives, recycled steel springs, and zero VOC finishes. Best of all, we use no chemical fire retardants. Our entire collection is handmade in Southern California with love. And I can't think of any set of standards that would be better than that. I think you've done a great job and beautiful designs. So tell us more about, either of you, can tell us more about how you make your furniture, about these extraordinary materials.
Well, I can tell you that these extraordinary materials are unfortunately very, very expensive, and it, you know, it's been a sort of constant challenge for me to really get the pieces out in the world, which is my goal, is to kind of to get these pieces into people's homes rather than toxic pieces that affect them. And so I've had such a challenge in trying to figure out ways to make these pieces more affordable for people. And, you know, unfortunately, the latex is a commodity on the commodities exchange, and its price fluctuates with the world market's demand on it as a product. Mm-hmm. And so we have to kind of absorb the price fluctuations. It generally has gone up because there's a greater demand for rubber for tires in the developing parts of the world. And so, you know, it's a constant battle to, you know, try to pass along savings to people. You know, it's the hardest thing, really, as a manufacturer to try to, you know, I would love to be a non-profit organization, but unfortunately, I'd be out of business because I couldn't pay for my own living expenses. And we really are working on the tightest margins possible to even call ourselves a for-profit business, just so that we can get these pieces out in the world, you know.
Well, I think that this is really an important thing to talk about because it seems that in the world today that people have much more attention on price and how much something costs or how much money they can save, or it's more money, their decisions are more money driven than they are driven by supporting their health or the environment. And I can understand that because we're in a tight economy, but at the same time, it's really important to support businesses like yours because you're the future. I mean, you're the present. You're here right now offering this product, but this is the standard for the future. If we want to hope to have life on Earth, these are the kinds of products that we should be everybody should be using. And I know for myself, I mean, I'm not an independently wealthy person, but I always am willing to spend the money. Like, I don't know if you heard me at the beginning of the show, I was talking about many years ago having a sofa custom upholstered, and it was like $2,000 or $3,000 then. And it's not right. That I have $2,000 or $3,000 that I can just write a check every day for all kinds of expensive products. But it's so important to me to have non-toxic things in my home that I make my decisions about what it is that I want, and then I see how I can come up with the money for them. Like right now there's something that I want and I'm looking around my house and I'm asking myself, well, what do I not need anymore? What can I sell and turn that unused item into some money so I can buy this non-toxic thing? And
sure.
And we can also simplify our lives. There's many ways that we can, you know, pull dollars from here and there, get an extra job, whatever it is. I have consistently made these kinds of decisions in my life to come up with the money to be able to pay for things. I appreciate very much that you're looking at how can you make it as inexpensive as possible. But I also want people to understand as you said, these are very expensive materials, and they are more expensive. But look, I've probably, how many thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars have I saved on medical bills? And how many?
Yeah.
I mean, when I look at something that costs $4,000 or $5,000, I just ask myself, well, how much does cancer cost? And I know how much it costs because I know people who have cancer, and it's tens of thousands of dollars.
And it's funny because, you know, many of these trends that we're discussing in terms of, like, eating better, and obviously the furniture issue that I address, are trends that are sort of have started and have taken grasp in the United States. And, you know, when I've gone to Europe, there just isn't as much, well, there is now with regard to the environment, but in my industry, hasn't been much interest in sustainability in the furniture industry. And I think that that it's just the point that you're making. You know, in the United States, we don't have nationalized health care. And God forbid anyone gets ill, the cost of illness in this country can completely wipe out a family and financially. And so I think we are more aware of it because we need to stay healthy in the present and in the coming years to avoid high health care costs. I think that sort of perks constantly on one's mind. It's like, I can't afford
it. It is constantly on my mind.
Yeah,
it is.
I mean, I think we need
to take another break, but when we come back, we'll talk more with Emily Cole of Ecla Home and about her new, more affordable sofa. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. We'll be right back. Okay, we had a little technical problem there. I'm hoping you can hear me now. This is Deborah Lindad. Good. At Toxic Free Talk Radio, and I'm here with Emily and Leanne and Emily Kroll from Ecla Home and Leanne Van Dusen from O Eco Textiles. So, Emily, would you tell me, you went through this whole process and worked very hard to come up with this more affordable design. Tell me some of the problems that you ran into and some of the solutions you came up with.
Well, it's a case of raw materials and labor. So, you know, again, we're producing our pieces in the United States, and I just wanted to kind of just mention something that in the 90s, you know, you said you spent a couple of $1,000s to have your piece reupholstered. In the 90s, a mid-range sofa, because I sold things at retail, a mid-range sofa in our industry went between $2,000 and $3,000. Now, when the Chinese came in and literally dumped, meaning, you know, did currency manipulation to get products into our country, they dumped furniture into this country, and they were selling, undercutting our entire industry to gain the market. And so they were selling sofas at $500. And this is, you know, the same pieces that, again, the quality wasn't the same, but they flooded the market with these types of items. And so what has happened is that these types of things are still on the market. I mean, you see on television ads for an entire sofa, chair, love seat set at, you know, $599. And you think, how on earth can that piece be made? You know, it's not only the labor that's less expensive, but they're actually manipulating currency to do so. So people's consciousness has changed about what things cost. And the majority of manufacturers did go offshore when this happened, and they started producing their pieces in China. So we even have American manufacturers that have been producing all over Asia now for a decade or so. And this is these are pieces that you see on the market here, you know, with some of the big manufacturers, American manufacturers, at maybe $1,000 to $1,500 each. The pieces look great, and most people would be happy to have the pieces in their homes should they not have chemicals in them. But it's literally shifted people's consciousness about what things cost. So we're actually producing still in Los Angeles. I've always produced in Los Angeles. We're producing in Los Angeles. We're paying a living wage. And so we have labor cost involved in making these pieces, as well as the raw materials cost. So what we had to do in value engineering the pieces was to try to make a piece that was quicker to make than one of our more complicated pieces, so thus reducing labor cost per piece in creating the pieces.
Yeah.
We also had to look at the materials used and how we could, you know, I wouldn't say eliminate, but design a piece that was structurally sound while using less material than our, you know, 300 pound sofas that we're making now, you know, which are the, the piece on the main collection. So we've done, we're calling our new piece, a sort of, we're calling it the Athens sofa, which is the piece that's democratized that everyone can afford. And we've changed construction in the base. We've done a one step type of upholstery that can be sewn and pulled onto the piece and upholstered more quickly than our more complicated pieces. So we've streamlined the materials. The piece is not, it's an armless sofa. It's sort of like, imagine a futon, but it's nicer looking than a futon, but it gets the job done for a piece to sit on that people can lay on, sleep on, watch TV on, but that has no toxic chemicals in it. So it's taken a lot of work. And again, it's not a piece that is, you know, $500 or $1,000. It's still coming in just under $2,000, but that's literally the best that we can do between value engineering, making pieces in the States, and raw materials, you know? So that's...
Well, I think that that is actually a reasonable price. I mean, it may be more than people want to spend, but you know, I put an announcement of this show in my newsletter yesterday, and a gentleman went to your website, and I said very clearly in the announcement that you were going to be releasing this new sofa today. And he wrote me back and he said, "Oh, all the sofas cost so much money. Can't you get them to do a sofa that costs $3,000 instead of four or five or whatever they are?" And I wrote back and said, "Yeah, there's one for $2,000. It'll be available tomorrow."
Actually, I think he may have been confused when looking at our pricing, because our pricing is all from 2000 to probably the sectionals are more obviously because it's two sofas in one, but we do have sofas certainly just under 2,000, just under 3,000, and then averaging to about 3,500.
He was looking for a sectional.
Oh yeah, well the sectionals, you know, people have to remember that it's two sofas in one. So it's double, double the labor, double the materials, you know, when making those pieces.
Now these are all custom made, yes?
Well, they're all handmade to order. So we have the line that's shown in the photograph, and then on the site, and we make those pieces, and they're priced on the price list grid. And we can also make custom pieces for people. So if people see something in the conventional world of furniture that they like as a style, we can generally make that piece in organic materials. A few pieces that are kind of impossible, but other than that, we can make pretty much anything. But otherwise, they are handmade to order, each piece.
Okay, good. So I don't see the picture of the new Athens on the site. Is that coming?
It was supposed to be up last night. Our web guy was having some technical issues, and so I would anticipate it being up later today or tomorrow. I'm hoping we get the up today or tomorrow.
I know what it's like with these technical issues.
We all know. Unfortunately, you plan for the best, and there's, you know, it's production. It's usually a glitch somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's due up.
Okay. So anybody who's looking for it, you can look for it tomorrow online, and it probably should be there. You can also go to the website, eklahome.com, and you can email them and tell Emily that you're interested in it, and when it's up, she can probably let you know, and or give you some information about it. You could also call them, and they may be able to make something for you custom that with fabrics that you are interested in or whatever. This is a company that is dedicated to having non-toxic sofas with organic materials and no chemical fire retardants. Thanks so much for being with me today, Emily and Leanne also. I really admire what it is that you're doing, and I appreciate your being with me.
Thank you so much, Deborah.
Thank you
for having us.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You've been listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. You can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com and learn more about the upcoming guests. And also, you can listen to the archives of all the guests that have ever been on the show. You could listen to this show again if you want to. And if you've enjoyed this, please tell your friends and family and neighbors and anybody that you would like to have know more about how to live toxic free, because it really is each of us learning to live toxic free and making those toxic free choices that is going to create a toxic free world for all of us. I'm Deborah Lindhad. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio.